very best in the business at talking about college basketball or NCAA issues in general. The great Jay Billis joins me now. Jay, it's Gary. How you doing?
I'm doing great, GP. How you doing?
Everything's good in my world. I appreciate you being here. First things first, you've got Syracuse-Duke tonight. It's 6 Central on ESPN. Zion Williamson didn't play in the second half Saturday after being hit in the eye. Is he good to go tonight?
He's good to go tonight. He practiced yesterday. They didn't have a heavy-duty practice. And then he went through the shoot-around today, looked his normal self. So Coach K said he had a little bit of double vision after he got hit in the eye. He got hit pretty good. If you saw some of the still photographs, it was a legit finger deep in the eye. But he seems to be fine and should be 100% tonight against Syracuse.
You've been around this sport for a long time, seen a lot of incredible athletes, incredible prospects. Can you help folks listening right now understand just how unique Zion Williamson is? Have we ever seen somebody quite like this?
No, I've said this, Gary, and I mean it. There's never been a player like Zion Williamson to ever step on a basketball floor. He's that different. And it's not that I haven't seen better players or played against better players, frankly. I have. But it's not a long list. I mean, he's up there. But Zion Williamson is a legit 6'6", 6'7", 285 pounds, and he's got an explosive vertical leap, not just on his first jump, but on his second. And he's also got this lateral agility that is hard to wrap your head around given his size. You know, you just don't see guys do that. But when he does it, you know, you're telling yourself, I know I just saw that, but I can't believe I just saw that. And he doesn't, even though he could run people over and they would never probably stand in his way again, he doesn't. He gets around people, jumps over people, but he doesn't bully people, if that makes sense. And he's very skilled, passes, handles, can bring the ball up, you know, spins. I mean, he's got tremendous body control. It's really remarkable. And every time we being guys like you and me, we try to come up with a comp because people are always, well, who does he remind you of? We're reaching with this guy. We're just making it up because there's nobody like him. Nobody.
Are you skeptical at all that obviously nothing's guaranteed with anybody except for perhaps LeBron James coming out of high school as it relates to superstardom, but are you skeptical at all that the stuff we're watching right now at Duke, that it's going to translate in the NBA?
Oh, it'll translate. The only thing that he has an issue with is becoming a reliable jump shooter, because if he can make just a decent percentage of threes, you have to go get him. And if you go get him, he's going to go by you. And when he gets by you, then it's going to be somebody else's problem, and it's going to be a big problem because he's proven there's no one he can't finish over. So the NBA game is going to suit him very nicely. He's just going to need to shoot it better and make his free throws. But, you know, Gary, I mean, I'm not, you know, sort of going with Zion Williamson as the number one pick automatically. Like, R.J. Barrett is really good. And I actually thought until recently, I mean, I thought, come on, man, it's got to be Barrett. He's built for the NBA. He's James Harden. He shoots it better than Zion, and he's such a good transition player. It's just Zion's so different, so powerful, and so you can't take your eyes off him. I mean, he's the reason that ratings are up so much in college basketball. I think it's traceable almost entirely to him.
I'm talking to Jay Billis from ESPN. You'll be able to watch him tonight. He's on Duke-Syracuse. That game tips 6 o'clock Central. It's on ESPN. I want to switch gears and honestly give you a tip of the hat for the way you brought a lot of attention to the Maury Davenport situation down in Alabama. How did this story get on your radar? Because I really do think it was your voice. I don't know if you'll take credit for this, but I do think it was your voice that brought about change.
Well, I think it was, that's nice to say, I think it was mostly just Maury Davenport and the beautiful soul she is that people just gravitated toward the story. The way it happened is it happens with most things. You know, I'm not following high school basketball eligibility issues in you know, Alabama. I saw something on Twitter, I read about it, and I thought, this is awful, and tweeted something out about it after the WNBA had. And oddly enough, Gary, I just happened to be on my way to Tuscaloosa when ESPN called me and asked me if I'd dig into this. And so I called USA Basketball. I called the Alabama High School Athletic Association. I spoke to Steve Savarese, their executive director. He said the things that he said that I wrote about, and it just took off. And you know, like you said, it kind of shows the power of social media, that so many people were moved by this and how ridiculous it was. It wasn't just, you know, like, because I think most people are reasonable. They believe in rules. I believe in rules. I drive the speed limit. I take my shoes off at TSA, and I don't take my liquids on. You know, I follow the rules. But, you know, there's reasonableness that goes with it. And this is horribly unreasonable. I think reasonable people see that. And that's where the outcry came from.
For people unfamiliar, the story is basically she played with USA Basketball in the summer, and they cut her a check to reimburse her for some things, and the check happened to exceed what the state of Alabama allows high school athletes to accept. Typically, and correct me if any of this is wrong, USA Basketball will check with the individual states to make sure they don't do anything to compromise somebody's eligibility. They just, for whatever reason, didn't check here, and so there was an error made when Maury Davenport and her family were made aware of this. They gave the money back, and yet the governing body in Alabama still punished her in a way that, as you pointed out accurately, it just was nonsensical to any reasonable person. And if not for you and other people bringing incredible attention to this, this is a young woman who is headed to play college basketball at Rutgers, but you know, you never get your senior year of high school back, and she was missing games and probably would have continued to miss games if not for a judge stepping in. And I think the social media attention that the case got, you know, is shifting in another direction.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it's not over yet, though. That's the disheartening part, is this was just a temporary restraining order, and those things typically last 10 days before they have to be permanent injunctions. And in order to do that, she's going to have to win on the merits. And usually courts, and this is true of the courts in Alabama, they've been very deferential to, you know, private organizations that have their own rules. And you hit the nail on the head, Gary. Like, very few high school players with high school eligibility play USA Basketball. And USA Basketball, when they cut these expense checks, they always check with the high school associations. There are 50 different ones, as you know, and they all have different rules, and something slipped through the cracks. They didn't do it. The coach that coached the team actually followed up with the players that he was recruiting. He's Jeff Wallace, the head coach at Louisville women's basketball. He was recruiting a couple of the players that were high school players. There were three of them, and two of them got these stipend checks. Actually, all three of them did, but one of them just left school altogether and isn't playing anymore. But another one who's going to Notre Dame cashed the check in Illinois. And the Alabama High School Athletic Association is frankly lying to people, saying that, no, she didn't cash the check and send it back. That's a lie. She did cash it, but Illinois was just smart in how they handled it and said, well, if she gave the money back, then we deem that she didn't accept it. They really didn't even have a case file open. But Alabama's different, and they're, you know, look, I think Steve Savarese is a nice fella, but he sounded a lot like Avery Brundage when he was on the phone with me. And I just have these images of people like, you know, some George Wallace figure standing in front of the gym, not letting Maury Davenport play. And ultimately, Gary, the sad part is I think she may lose in court. And I just hope that the adults at the Alabama High School Athletic Association, somebody can get to them and say, listen, declare victory and leave the field. Like, just let her play and say that the judge made you do it, and then do whatever you want going forward. But this is a loser. And public opinion is totally against you in this, but I don't think they'll do that. I think they're going to fight to the last breath on this.
Well, I hope they're smart enough to do it, because not doing it, again, just makes no sense. I'm talking to Jay Billis from ESPN. You're going to be able to see him on ESPN tonight, Syracuse Duke in Cameron Indoor. It tips at 6 o'clock Central. There are different teams at the top of different people's rankings, but basically everybody right now has a 1-2-3-4 in some order of Duke, Michigan, Tennessee, Virginia. And I want to talk to you about the Vols, because they're now 14-1. The lone loss is an overtime loss to Kansas. They've beaten Gonzaga, and the 14 wins, 13 of them are by double digits. The 14 wins are coming by an average of about 23 points per game. And this is something Rick Barnes is doing without a single former top 100 prospect on his roster. How remarkable is it that Rick Barnes has built what looks like a real national championship contender in a power conference in this way?
you know, I'm not surprised that Rick is doing this at Tennessee because I think that's how good of a coach he is. I would never have let him leave Texas, but I get it. There, you know, everybody has a shelf life at these different places. I actually coached Grant Williams in AAU basketball. I knew how good he was and just a great kid. But it's an old school approach, Gary. They have kind of grown up together. They've taken lumps together. And they've made the innocent climb together. And now that they're mostly juniors and seniors of their best players, they're able to have that maturity, collective maturity that you need to be really good. They've got a great player in Grant Williams. They've got, you know, potential great player in Admiral Schofield. Their guards are smart. Jordan Bones, really good, and has proven that. And they've got the right pieces at every spot. Their guards are healthy now. Lamonte Turner's back. They're legit. They're really, really good. They're just not the only one. Like, we don't have anybody that's going to run away and hide this year. It's not like 2015 where you had, you know, Kentucky, Duke, Wisconsin that kind of separated from everybody else. I don't think we have that. But we've got some legit, very, very good teams. And Tennessee is clearly one of them. And being older and older together, we don't see that often. And so that's going to be a nice thing. And if people have been paying attention to Tennessee over the last 2-3 years, I think it'll be more fun to watch a team like that you've seen grow up together. It's kind of old, you know, watching the old Back to the Future. So I'm watching a team from the old days.
Elsewhere in the SEC, I think probably one of the biggest surprises in the country, and they're starting to get attention now. They're ranked 18th in today's AP poll. Ole Miss, 13-2 overall, 3-0 in the SEC under first-year coach Kermit Davis. This is a team that went 12-20 last season, and it's largely the same roster. The top four scorers on this team this season were on last season's team as well. They were picked last in the preseason SEC poll, and they're ranked 18th in the AP poll right now. What do you make of what Kermit Davis is already able to do down in Oxford?
Well, first, Kermit is a really good coach and a really good guy, but so was Andy Kennedy. And Andy Kennedy had done a great job there. But it's just one of those things we'd mentioned before about shelf life, like Rick Barnes at Texas. Like, the people around there had gotten tired of it. And I think the people around the Ole Miss program had gotten tired of it, and that's why Andy left. Andy Kennedy's a really good coach, and I'd venture to say he's just as good as Kermit. But Kermit's come in there and has done a really nice job, and I think that the positive vibe is the reason that a roster that's largely the same from last year to this, they've got some new additions, but why they're playing with a more positive attitude. And I think that's all it is. It's just an attitude change, sort of when you're under new management, everybody feels a little bit better about it. And Andy resigned in the middle of the year, and so things didn't go well after that. I mean, we're seeing that at UCLA and all that stuff. It's rare where those things work out really well. It's hard to turn the ship around in the middle of the voyage. But I think Kermit's really good, and he's got good guards, which makes a huge difference.
Talking to Jay Billis from ESPN. You'll watch him tonight on Duke Syracuse broadcast. Starts at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Memphis is probably a year away, a recruiting class away from being nationally relevant again, but there are some Memphis players at a nationally relevant program. Dedrick Lawson is leading Kansas in scoring. Right behind him, LeGerald Vick, also from Memphis. And then, of course, KJ Lawson, also on that Kansas team. How impressive has Dedrick been in his first year at Kansas? And did you expect him to put up the type of numbers he's putting up? He's averaging 19-11 right now.
I did expect it. I mean, a couple years ago when he was still at Memphis, I had picked him to be preseason National Player of the Year. I thought, you know, and I thought Memphis was going to be better than they were 2 years ago when they had him. But, you know, that was bad. He was averaging 20 there. And putting up these kind of numbers. He's legit. He's just not a great athlete. That's the only thing he lacks. I mean, he lacks that sort of explosion, and, you know, he's not going to dunk on people. He's going to do it with his skill level. And he just knows how to play. And he's hard to speed him up. He does a terrific job with his body and uses fakes really well. I mean, he's a big time scorer, and he rebounds at a high rate. So I'm not surprised. It's unfortunate for Kansas that they've had, you know, that Udoka Azubuike's out, because I still think they're the best team in the Big 12, and their guards are going to continue to get better. Like, I think Devon Dotson is one of the best freshmen in the country, and probably isn't getting the credit for it. And Quentin Grimes hasn't played his best, but he's capable. So I still think Kansas has a long way to go in order to get better. But without that presence inside, I think it's going to be harder.
Wrapping up here with Jay Billis from ESPN. I mentioned you're going to be inside Cameron Indoor tonight. Will you also be there Saturday?
Yeah, I'm going to be there Saturday for Virginia, and then I'm at North Carolina on Monday for Carolina-Virginia Tech.
So I just booked travel this weekend for Duke-Virginia. It'll be the team that's ranked number one in the AP poll against the team that's ranked number one in the coaches poll. I don't think anybody's surprised that Duke is great because the roster always suggested Duke would be great. I don't think anybody should ever be surprised when Tony Bennett's got a really good team, but they're sitting here on January 14th, this Virginia team, undefeated and really just overwhelming everybody. Only two teams all season have even cracked the 60-point barrier against them. Now, some of that is tempo-related, but I don't care how slow you play. You can't hold people under 60 unless you are also really good defensively. They're obviously excellent offensively. You've seen Virginia, I know. How good is this Virginia team?
They're really good. They weren't as good early on in the year. I had them against Maryland in the Big Ten ACC, and they obviously won the game, but they didn't play their best. And Braxton Key wasn't playing at this level early on, the transfer from Alabama. He is playing at a much higher level. And I'm a big fan of Kihei Clark. He's just a difference maker when he comes in because he changes the tempo of things, and he's so quick and fast and can get up underneath you defensively. But they're guards. Like, that's the way – there are different ways to build a program. You can build it with young, great talent, or you can build it the way Tony Bennett has with older guys that, you know, they might not – as you mentioned with Tennessee, might not have been as heavily recruited, but they're going to stick around for 4 years, and they know how to play, and they know how to compete. And that's sort of what Virginia does, and they play their style. You know, they're still not, you know, they're not unbeatable. It's like last year, but last year was a fluke as far as getting beaten in the tournament. To lose to the 16 seed. I just don't expect that to happen again. I don't think that's something anybody has to worry about. I don't know if they'll go 17-1 in the league again, but they're not going to lose more than three games. I know that. They're really, really good. And, you know, getting them out of their style of play is near impossible. And then Kyle Guy and I think Ty Jerome's going to play in the NBA. That's how good I think that kid is. He's not an NBA athlete, but he's an NBA player. And with Kyle Guy shooting it the way he does, and he can make so many challenge shots, they're going to be tough to deal with. It's just when they go against Duke on Saturday, and I know you know this, Kerry, but I'm not sure most people who are watching do. Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett are great, but, man, that dude, Trey Jones, is the best defensive guard I've seen in a long time. Like, that guy is unbelievable in his ability to see what's going on the floor and actually impact it. You could have guys 4 years and watch film and teach them all these things, and they won't get it like this kid gets it at age 18. It's absurd how good he is.
That is Jay Billis from ESPN. You can watch him tonight on Syracuse Duke, and then obviously you can watch him again this weekend on Duke Virginia. Jay, thanks so much for being here, buddy, and I will see you this weekend.
Looking forward to it, Gary. Thanks, brother.